Welcome to Opening Presence, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Paige Ray and Pretty Boy Prince at Gallery 3903. Paige is a creative, stylist, and curator based in Portland, Oregon. In this conversation, we bond over our shared admiration for YSL rapper Gunna. We talk about the journey of sobriety and how much fun it is to try new things without the pressure to monetize. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presence. We are live. Welcome to Opening Presence. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you all so much for joining us today. I am joined by Paige Ray. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
No, thanks for being down to do this on this path of, I guess, like learning and growing. I wanted to start off with a very relevant, deep question.
Cool.
So what do you think Gunna bought when he went out to lunch and spent $200 for that lunch?
Oh, I'm so happy.
Where did he go for lunch, and what did he order?
I think if he spent $200 on lunch, I think he went to Nobu in Malibu and got like one sushi roll and maybe a cocktail. Because it's pretty expensive there, but knowing Gunna, that was okay.
Yeah, it was definitely, that's a good guess, because I was thinking, I haven't been to LA. It had to have been in LA,
yeah,
for sure, because it's like, you're not, I feel like in Atlanta, it's a little bit more of a bargain when it comes to food.
And yeah.
You're pretty much just going to get like chicken wings or something.
No, seriously,
like,
and you can feed a lot of people, but I feel exactly. Like Gunna went by himself for $200
yeah.
for lunch.
Yeah, for sure. See, we're dropping mad knowledge here. We're doing the introspective everything right here.
Amazing.
But I do like leading with that. Free YSL, by the way.
Exactly. It's actually Young Thug's birthday today, too.
It 31.
Yes.
Yeah, which is wild. We are joined by Pretty Boy Prince, who is being a petty, whiny baby right now. Do you want to give an introduction to Prince before?
Yes.
Just so
Prince
people know.
Prince is my child, my son, my red-nosed Doberman, also huge monster, but he is waiting for his dad because his dad, Anthony, is at the dispensary. So he's having a tough time right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, using my hand as a chew toy.
Even though he has a million toys.
Yeah, he's grown so much since the last time that I came over here. Like, he is like full on like deer mode right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Stag. A lot of times, like, the people on this podcast, like, these are all like relationships that I'm like wanting to water and nurture. And like, since I've known you, I've just always known that I wanted to know more about you. And
awesome.
And I know that we mm-hmm. connected on Gunna.
Yes.
I'm like, yo, like, that's the best like rapper of this up and coming generation.
Absolutely.
I want to exist here for a little mm-hmm. bit longer. So what is it about his music that you gravitated towards?
So I like always listened to Gunna because I always listened to Young Thug, but I like wasn't as like obsessed with Gunna until it was 2020. I wasn't working and I was gardening and Wanna dropped. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna listen to this album. And it was the deluxe mm-hmm. version. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, and I was just, that's all I was doing was gardening. So I like had my computer out there and my speaker, and I turned on, and $200 for lunch was the first song on there. And I was like, what is this? This is the most amazing thing I've ever listened to. Listen to the entire thing. And that's me and my plants and my tomatoes and my cucumbers yeah. and everything that I ate and grew, like, we all were fed
wow.
by Gunna. And so like that just like spiraled into me like going back into his discography and
yeah.
like re-falling in love with everything that he made.
Yeah.
Even though I like would always like tap into a new release by him, but like I don't think I really like put everything into it and like really opened up my ears to like what he was talking about
mm-hmm.
and his flow and the like samples that his producers use, that I just like having that alone time and like slow down time was just like me, Gunna, and my plants
mm-hmm.
and like ever since then, like, I am
Wow.
That's me.
That's so cold. Run it back turbo.
Yes.
I could just imagine you like gardening with like sun came out.
Yes.
I went about a drop top.
If you go back into my Instagram feed, like of my like gardening of 2020, I don't have that garden anymore because I moved. But during that time when like Reels was getting popping, mm-hmm. I use Sun Came Out a lot just because I was like, this is the only song that matters and it relates to everything that I'm planting and growing.
Yeah. That's so dope. So with Wanna, that album, for me, damn, Prince is going ham on
I'm
me
sorry,
right now.
My
He's
son
doing a
is...
number. But with that album, mm-hmm. like I was into his stuff like a little bit before, but with Wanna, I think like through the like the season that it dropped,
mm-hmm.
he was ahead of his time.
Yes.
Like with that sound, and I was just like, oh, like there's going to be a point where I'm obsessed with this. Mm-hmm. But when it dropped, I was like, oh, like this is cool, but I'm not like gravitating towards it until mm-hmm. like 6 months later.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to go back to it. And I was like, oh, this is what it is. It's like full immersion because mm-hmm. I could tell that it's like, oh, like they went out into like Jamaica or Bali or whatever and rented a house and curated an entire like aesthetic and vibe with the producers mm-hmm. in-house with the content. It wasn't like, oh, I'm in Atlanta and I'm just making like a feature type of thing. It was very like curated and that's something with that album in particular that I recognize.
It was an adventure.
Tropical.
Yeah, like
it's
it really
super tropical.
Yes.
But yeah, just like his flow is just something, it seems very elementary, but just like, no, just stay on the track.
Mm-hmm.
He'll stay in this pocket for a long time.
Yes.
But it just goes. And I'm like, yes, this is it. Nobody else sees it. All right, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, he came to Portland and I shot his show. So I was like in front of like the, in like the little like photo pit.
Cool.
And got to like take photos. And like after that, amazing in concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yep, I'm a day one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. I've never got to see him in concert, unfortunately, but hopefully he will be free soon.
Yeah, please. And please.
Oh my goodness. I did see, like, seeing someone, like, straight out of getting out of jail, Gucci Mane. I saw mm-hmm. Gucci Mane on his first tour, mm-hmm. straight out of jail, and that was, like, that really like filled my heart because it's someone that I always wanted to see and thought like, oh no, like, is he ever going to go on tour again? So I hope I get to have that same feeling with Gunna.
Yeah. I believe you will.
Yes.
Yeah. So where did you grow up?
Eugene, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So Nike Town, just south of Portland. But yeah, I was in Eugene, originally born in Los Angeles. My parents lived there for a little while and then moved us back to Eugene to slow things down. And, yeah, I went to Eugene Gakuen, the Japanese elementary school, and then went to North Eugene High School, if any Eugene listeners are out there, and then graduated from the U of O and then popped up to Portland because it was like the big city.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wait, so are you part Japanese?
No, I'm not. Okay. But my parents just put me in a, like when we moved from L.A., we lived down the street from this Japanese immersion school.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, this is different. And it was like a lottery based like entry to get into mm-hmm. school. And I got in. So I studied Japanese from 5 till I was 13.
Oh, wow.
And so I like, I can understand it and I can generally like speak it pretty well. It's just, I don't use it very often.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nihongo ga manabusuka?
Hi, wakarimasu.
Like Aaron knows, no, I don't know any Japanese.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I was like, I gotta get down into like the belly.
Yes.
That's where it's at.
Yes. I can get by.
So have you been to Japan?
I haven't. So we had a trip planned for like 5th grade was when you're like, you're at your peak fluent. And that's when we were all going to go. But unfortunately, 9/11 happened. So they canceled our trip. So which was like so like obviously that was a big deal. And so but tough as someone that's 10 years old to understand like what's going on. And so I looked into different programs like throughout school to be like, oh, like I'm going to go do a foreign exchange. But I'm not really big on like structure like that and didn't want to do too much structure and a foreign country that I wasn't established with. So a goal of ours as in me and Anthony is to go to Japan and spend some time there for sure. Cause we need to shop.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, I was there in 2019.
Cool.
And the thing is, it's just like everyone there's so small. So it was like the shopping for me was not.
Oh yeah,
tight.
No,
like,
seriously.
I literally could only shop at like vintage stores, mm-hmm. where just like pre-owned, blah blah blah. But like anything that was just like straight off the rack, like nothing was fitting me.
No, totally.
And I was like, oh Lord.
I'm 5'3", so I'm okay.
Yeah, you're chilling. Like, that's. I feel like femme people like have the best of both worlds, because you could wear basically everything.
No, totally.
Like when you go to like the rack or any place, I'm just like, yo, you have everything to your disposal.
Yes. It's height, like, is where like you can't add fabric, like when it comes to that. So I am lucky in that area for sure. But also like sizing is ridiculous in women's clothing, where it's like there's no reason. Like the other day I bought a dress and it was an extra large and it like fit me fine. Like there's no reason for that. So I get a little mad when sizing, because like for someone that is an extra large, there's no reason. Like they should be able to fit the stuff.
Yeah. Well, then it just goes into like who's making the clothes. And it's like, I have friends that design clothing and it's just like the large is like an XL.
Yeah.
And it just goes into like preference and ethos when it comes to designing something and designing for specific people. Like Ray-Ban sunglasses, I'm like, who the fuck's head is that skinny?
No,
for like whose no whose head like whose pencil face
no seriously
fits these Ray-Bans?
I got big head problems. Like hats, no.
I haven't done hats in a minute. Yeah. Like the traditional like new era hats. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have like my collection that was like on the wall, and they made like hat contraptions that would like carry everyone's hats, because everybody was so obsessed with them. But even if you got a hat that was like the same size across the board, the manufacturing wasn't the same on every single one. Sometimes like the forehead area would pop out like mad far.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, yo, like this isn't the same construction.
No, for real. Yeah, no, like a one size fits all hat is a lie. Like, like I can't stand that. I got lots of hair and a big forehead, so it's never right for me.
Yeah, the one size fits all. Now I'm getting into buckets.
Cool.
Buckets are definitely a thing.
Yeah, you should look into some like silk lined bucket hats too, to like make sure it's like protecting your hair too. I've seen some cool brands like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Instagram ad.
Oh, probably. Probably.
Anytime I compliment on someone's like outfit, like they're like, oh, I got it on Instagram. I haven't yet to fall victim to like one of those.
I'm too
ads.
Scared. I feel like it's a scam. Like, I feel like it's going to like
some
take
of it
my
looks
card.
So good though. I'm like,
yeah,
whoa,
but
like
anyone can use Canva.
Yeah, most definitely. Have you used Canva?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm a social media manager. I've like and content creation for all types of brands, and Canva is like,
yo,
it just that plug and
oh
play
God,
like
oh
yeah, it saves
I
you so much
it,
time.
Like when I did my dating event a few months ago, and just like, oh, we got to come up with like a flyer, like I don't feel like finding a designer for it, I'm gonna go on Canva. And I swear like you can do like motion graphics on it and shit too. And I created a flyer with music and shit, and I was like, oh shit, like this is fucking like a layup.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Yeah, I think the idea of like people like waiting for like, oh, it's got to be perfect, or tools, like I need to go to school for this, and not, I'm like,
not with Canva. No. It's like for just like quick like plug and play things. Like I used to work for a brand called Wild Fang, and when we would have like, oh, we're doing an event and it's like in 2 days, it's like, okay, well, let me just make that flyer real quick so we can let everyone know. Like it was a lifesaver.
Yeah, no, I definitely like dove into that, and just like being more free and willing to just like create things on the fly, like like the least amount of time before something, I'm like, bet, like cool, like there's no expectation now because it's already kind of built into like the urgency that's needed. It's like I don't have time to sit around and wish that like I had more time or anything, because I don't have more time. So I'm just gonna go do it right now. And I think this day and age is if you can get past that like desire for having all of the conditions being perfect, like you can have a lot of fun expressing yourself, but then also like finding new creative, I guess, outlets or processes.
Totally. So, yeah, it can be inspiring as well. Yeah.
So growing up, like what did you gravitate towards? I know you've expressed that you're into fashion and music and stuff, but what were some of like the initial influences that kind of like frame your outlook creatively or otherwise?
Definitely my parents. I have very creative parents, and they fostered an environment where it was like, yeah, try and do whatever you want. As long as you're not like hurting other people, obviously. But yeah, my dad has been a vinyl DJ my entire life. And so music was huge. Like, I don't play any instruments, but like learning about music and being obsessed with music and being around music is just like, music is always playing in our house, and it was always playing very loud, and that was okay. And then my mom, a hairdresser, which is her own creativity. But yeah, they were kind of like, allowed me to kind of have that freedom to try new things, which I really loved, and also like be okay with it like not working out and being okay with like quitting. Like, I loved having parents that were like, oh, you want to try volleyball? And I did it for one season. They're like, do you want to do it again? I'm like, nope. And they're like, cool. Like, don't keep going if you don't want to. Oh, you're done doing track? Okay, cool. Like, try something else. Or like, oh, you don't want to do a sport this year? Okay, like, that's totally fine. I also had a mom that, like, now we call them mental health days, but that's something that she allowed when we were kids too, being like, I don't want to go to school today. Like, I don't feel like it. And she was someone that like allowed that, which was really nice. But yeah, I think where I put my creativity as a kid was like drawing and playing and being, having like a wild imagination and like creating environments where like everyone kind of wanted to like be around and have fun. That definitely went into a route of like being the, like, because I had definitely party parents. Being in Eugene, it was a college party town, and so I kind of fell into that too. And I think like I was always the like party planner type of person, where it's like events, where it's like I was the one that was hosting the party bus, I was the one that was making sure all of our friends were like all together having the best time and everyone was having the best time. And so I feel like that was like the kind of like the curator of like the energy that was going around. That was how I like put my creativity mostly like growing up, is making sure everyone was having a good time.
Yeah. I definitely like resonate with that. Even like throughout my life too, is just like being like the party house and stuff, like with the cool mom.
Yes. Like, yes.
Like, oh, like what do you guys need from the store? Like,
no, totally.
Oh, we get a 12 pack in a bottle. Yeah, like type of thing.
The very like, well, if you're going to have fun, I'd rather you have it, do it in my house.
For
type
sure.
Of thing,
I'll be upstairs in my room drinking my Dos Equis and y'all just have a good time watching the fights or having a party or whatever. Yeah, that just comes like naturally though, just like knowing like what a space needs, like what do people need, and it's just like, yeah, I definitely like feel at home like with considering other people's experiences.
Yes.
It's never about me. Mm-hmm. It's never about like how much fun we're going to have at it. It's like, oh my God, like seeing other people happy.
Yes.
And seeing other people like feeling connected or inspired is something that, that definitely is a priority. Do you feel like you've carried that mentality into like your adult life, or where do you see it expressed?
I do now. Now it's like, it's different because I don't drink and party anymore. Like I'm 3.5 years sober. So I like cut out the like trying to organize like alcohol related things where it's like, now I do really like I don't do as much like event type of things anymore. I'm not the person that's planning like large groups, I would say. It's more like, oh, I want to like plan this special thing for like me and Anthony, or plan this special thing for my sister, or make sure like, even if it's just a little thing where it's like, oh, we have all the best snacks and we're going to watch this thing, or like, oh, I know that my coworkers are really excited about the new Hocus Pocus movie, so I'm going to invite them over to the studio and we're going to have a, like a little witchy party for Halloween because I love Halloween. Like small things like that that feel really special, and it's like for a reason.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of my partying used to be for like no reason. It was very YOLO type of energy where it was just like, we party every weekend because we can, and we party every weekend because like that's what young people do. That was the kind of like, there was no like reason. Obviously there was birthdays and things like that, but now it's like when there's something very special going on, like I go all in. Like I go all in for that person or for myself or whatever it is that we're celebrating at that time.
Yeah, those have like much more of like a lasting impact long term. It's like, remember that time?
Yes, and like, I do remember now because I don't drink.
Yeah, I just organized a like a breathwork session with some friends. Like I one of my buddies got like certified for like this, and people listening to this podcast, like, he's talking about breath work again. Goddamn, shut up.
No, but if you love it, you love it.
But it was like such a transformational experience where my friend got certified. We had like a experience like in my living room and guided me through it. And I was just geeked. I was like, yo, like, y'all got to try this thing. It's like psychedelics, but it's its own like version of it through your breath. It is crazy. And I just started reaching out and realizing that I have more people in my life that are in that space to be able to receive and that are interested in it instead of just me saying it and then like kicking it down the road for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Like literally just this past Saturday, like got seven other people together in a house, in my friend Saki's house. Mm-hmm. And like everybody was down for it too. And we were able to like get it up and running like within like a week. And I was like, how the hell did we do this? Like, this is something that back home would have never happened.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, everybody, I have this idea that we should all do this together. You be waiting for like 6 months to a year and then you forget about it. Totally. And it just never happened. But like having people that are like willing to explore themselves and heal with each other or just have an experience with one another and that trust, the trust that they have in me to deliver something. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's their own experience. Like I can't modulate their experience, but the intention was like, hey, here's an opportunity for you to grow, learn with each other, and for people to take that experience and do with it as they would like to is really like reassuring in my intention.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, cool. Like y'all picked up what I put down.
Yeah.
Beautiful. This is great.
So rewarding. And the, like, seeing how they come into the situation and how they leave too is just like it. That's so wonderful.
I'm like, this is possible. This is possible.
Right? That's so cool.
Yeah. Okay. So you touched on you do not drink anymore.
Yeah.
This is like a theme that I keep coming back to in different ways on this podcast. But what was your relationship to alcohol prior to like removing it from your life?
Yeah.
And what is that process, has that process been?
Totally. So I was definitely a like hardcore social drinker. I wasn't like, I never drank by myself. I never really like I guess I would only drink if like someone was like coming over to, and it didn't have to be like a huge group. It could just be me and a girlfriend like drinking wine, or also like I worked in a few like startup companies where like drinking was fine as well. So like drinking at work, you know, like having a beer, that's very popular in Portland. But I feel like I started drinking really young. I started drinking at 13, 14, because you're like at Oregon football games and all the adults are really drunk and there's Jello shots. And then like also your parents being like, oh yeah, you can have one beer and that type of thing. And it was all revolved around like alcohol was for like having the time of your life. That was how I felt about it. It was like having a lot of fun. And then like throughout time, I think when it was like, I'm 31 now. So it was maybe like 24, 25 is when I was like, okay, it's not as fun anymore because my hangovers are kicking my butt. Like it was lasting so long, like 3 days, 4 days, even didn't matter how much I drank. So I'm like, okay, then the days after having fun suck. Like, is that really worth it? So it was kind of like this light bulb that kept going on in my head being like, do I want to keep doing this? And obviously I didn't quit drinking until I was 27, 28. So it took a few years of just being like, oh my gosh, like, oh, but I have so much fun. Like, and this is what my friends do to have fun. And this is like just what we do. And then my mom got sober. So that was like the major light bulb for me being like, wow, like I could, in hindsight, like I could never imagine my mom getting sober. I like, she definitely had, was someone that was a little bit more functional with drinking. So I just like didn't think like, oh, she has like a huge drinking problem, but like it was now that we think about it. But like her getting sober was like, oh, well, if my mom can, I can. So I like thought about it and let her do her thing and kept drinking. And then I lost a couple friends. So that was just like the other light bulb. It was like, okay, like how many signs do I need to be like, this is just not for me anymore. So I gave myself 3 months to have as much fun as I wanted to. Just be like, girl, like, this is all you got. You get January, February, March to just like see what happens. This is all you have. And so I did that and I took like some time to really think about it. And I was like, okay, I have to quit. Like, I just, I have to, like, it's, I gave myself the time. I've had all these like signs that have been like my mom quitting, losing friends that were like, they were on the same level as me of like how we drank. And it was just like, I can't keep doing this to myself anymore. And my body was also giving me signs too. It's like, if your hangovers are lasting for 4 days, why are you doing this to yourself? Is it really worth it? And I was like, okay, let's do 30 days and see what happens. And I just never looked back. Because after that 30 days, I was like, yeah, like I am a fun person without alcohol. And I probably shouldn't have like instantly tried to like go out with friends and be like, I'll just have water or just have juice or whatever. But I did. I just threw myself into it and I didn't do any programs or anything like that because I just wanted to do it myself because I just, that's the type of person that I am. But testing out to see if I can handle not drinking was like, that's what I needed. And it worked. And I'm really grateful that I like kind of threw myself into it and did it cold turkey. But it was hard. Yeah. It was really hard. Yeah. I was, had such a bad attitude by the time I was like, because once you get to that point, you're like out at a club and you're drinking your sparkling whatever with lime and over and over again. You're like, oh, can you add some pineapple? Like, you're just like, trying to figure out all these combinations. And mocktails weren't as really popular here in Portland yet at that time. And I just noticed myself having the worst attitude, being like, just, and I also was the type of drinker where like I got in some fights when I was out at clubs where I didn't care. Like, if you're in my way, I'm going to elbow you back. Just that type of thing. But I noticed that like still being that attitude, like still being in me where I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You just need to not be out at these places. Like, it's these places that are bad too. It's not just like me being the like irresponsible drinker where I couldn't just have one. It's like these, this energy in these like clubs and the atmosphere is also not good too. So I just completely removed myself from going to those places as well.
Yeah. That's, congratulations on making that choice too. Yeah. Cause it isn't easy and everyone has their own journey within. Like, I experienced like the negotiating period where it's like, I quit for like 3 months and then I tried it again and I was like, oh, this ain't it.
I'm too, I like have scared myself. Obviously I will never drink again. I guess not obviously, but I've gotten this far where it's like, no way. But I like am legitimately like scared. I have like nightmares that I drink alcohol.
Oh, me too. Me too.
And I wake up in like a cold sweat because I'm so mad at myself.
The shame, like, the shame and the guilt is enough.
Oh my goodness. In the like dreams about hangovers, or even when I just get like a slight headache, it like reminds me of a hangover. And it's like, girl, you're just dehydrated. Like, you just need to drink some water. You drink some water. You haven't eaten enough today. But like, even that, it like scares me so bad that I like obviously will never go back.
I went camping like last week and like my friends were like drinking beers at like nine in the morning or just even in the evening. And I was just like, I kind of want one right now, like I really want, like, this is how I enjoy beers. It's just like kicking it, watching a game, super leisurely, like not hurting anybody. Oh, like the club thing, I don't think I've ever been the club person because like I've always wanted deep connection and to be understood. And in those situations, like, nobody's leading with their authenticity. It's like they're leading with like their peacock feathers nobody. It's like we're cramming ourselves into this room.
Yeah.
And under the guise of deep connection. But it's like we're all running away from one another right now. Totally. It's like even if you have sex with somebody that and you meet at the club and it's like, oh, yeah, we found each other attractive or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like drinking alcohol separates you from yourself.
Yeah.
So you're literally gaining proximity and while running away from each other at the same exact time. And I find myself, or do you find yourself like judging people when you go out?
Not as much anymore. Now I'm able to like watch someone be like really drunk and be like, oh my gosh, like that's funny. And I almost start to feel shame of myself because I think about times where I like went out and drank too much and I had no clue what was going on, where I'd start to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that I am not that anymore, mm-hmm. where I'm able to like look inward and outward and be like, whew, that's why I don't drink anymore. Yeah. At first, yes, I was like, oh my God, drunk, like, oh my goodness, like, they're so annoying, and get really annoyed, like even going to like concerts where people were drinking, where it's like, no, like people are getting drunk at a concert because that's what they want to do. And they paid a ridiculous amount of money for these tickets, and that's okay. Where I just have to be like, okay, like you don't get to stand in the sections where the drunk people are, you know, like separate. Exactly, Prince.
Yeah, I kind of like, I'm like fully supportive. Like, if my friends want to drink, I'm like, drink all you want.
Exactly.
Like, have a good time.
Yeah.
Like,
please.
Like, win. Yeah. Like, have a good ass time. But just like, know that we're all making a decision. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can make a decision to go the other way too. I'm going to support you in whatever decision you make. But making this conversation more of a regular thing where it's just like, yo, like, I think you're probably like the fourth or fifth person on the podcast that's like that's sober or on their own,
or like sober curious.
There's plenty of people that it's like even conceiving of a life without drinking or participating in it is something that is still new, and it's like there's kind of a I feel like there's more like growing momentum around that concept, because it's like, oh, you can remove carbs from your life if you want to. It's like you have the choice to do anything, and I think empowering and showing and giving examples of like, no, like this is your life, you can create exactly what you want in it, and if something's not working for you, like by all means, it's like you have the power to shift that. So
I'm very the like control the controllable. Like there's so many things that we can't control, and I don't obsess over those things because I can't control them. But the things that I can, I am all about putting those in the place or removing them or making them better or asking for help to figure it out.
Hiding my hands.
Every time we awkwardly pause, it's because the dog
is like,
pulling up.
Where do we go now? What are you excited about these days? Like, I know that like pandemic, blah, 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 la, 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 la. On that, I guess, like journey and path of just kind of like creating happy, healthy lifestyles. Like, what are the things that bring you joy?
Something that I had to learn from getting sober was enjoying doing nothing in like stillness, because I was always someone that was like constantly saying yes and constantly just like making plans. And like for me, like no plans are the best plans sometimes, where I can just allow myself to like go throughout my day. That's something that is newer for me that I've done within the last few years. And obviously like with the pandemic, lots of plans have been canceled, allowing me to do that. But like making sure that's something that I like continue and don't just drop as plans are starting to pop up more now. And things that I enjoy, I don't know, just like exploring new, like if I want to try something, just going for it. And also like Anthony is a great person, because he, if I'm like, oh, I want to try this and this, he's like, oh, let's do it. Oh, I've always wanted to, what's it called? Why can't I think of it? Airbrush. I had like a 2-week long airbrushing stint, and that was okay, that it was just lasted that long. But like finding new ways to just like try something, and like we were talking about like 3D printing and things like that, like I want to dive into 3D printing, I want to make vases, I want to make earrings, I just want to like try new things like that. And also me and my sister were talking about rock climbing, like I've never done that before. Like, why not try it? Like, but yeah, just finding new things to try and see if I like it and see if it sticks. But I also, like I said, my parents raised me in a way where it's just like, it's okay to just like do it for a little while and be on to the next thing. It doesn't have to become a hobby or be something that like gets monetized.
Yeah. <Seriously, this
laughs> like you can just like enjoy a thing and not have to think about how it has to be like some sort of side hustle.
Yeah.
I feel like that, because I really before the pandemic, like I was girl bossing too close to the sun is what I like to call it, where it's just like everything was either a side hustle or it was a different way to make money. But yeah. And I think like refocusing my like content and social media where it used to be something that I was very serious about and cared about my analytics and all that stuff like that, where I'm just like going with the flow. That's something that I'm really, I guess not focused on because I don't want to be focused on it, but like being intentional and having fun and not caring if it gets 1,000 likes. If it gets 10 likes, it's still fire.
Yeah, message for real. I've like everything that you just encapsulated is like the whole point of like these types of conversations is like removing the self-imposed boundaries to create something or to experience something new. I was like, how do you like shorten that period from idea to doing?
Yeah.
Instead of like similar to like the breathwork thing where just like, oh, like we just did it.
Yeah.
And it's just like you take an information and decide if you want to continue with it, or like even with your airbrushing and stuff like that. It's like if somebody has the courage to share their idea with me, I'm like, how are we gonna do it right now?
Yeah.
This very second.
Yeah.
But similar like with like social media and stuff, it's like not venturing too far out and trying to create something far away. It's just like showing the things that you're already doing in a new light and just kind of just like chuckling. Like chuckling is like how I look at all the stuff that I'm creating is just like, oh, like I did that shit just randomly.
Yes.
I was just like,
I literally
went to the gym today and like took a video of me boxing, hitting the punching bag. And then what I realized like with doing a podcast for 2 and some changed years that I have all of this stored content of like quotes, like little chunks. So I'll just go back, get an old little clip from months and months ago or years ago, and then repurpose it and put it over like me boxing with Peacoat by Future instrumental. And just like, that's just like the wave now.
Yeah.
We're just discovered just by trying it. Mm-hmm. And then like finding new tools. There's this tool called CapCut.
Yes. I've heard of CapCut.
Oh my God.
You're liking it?
God,
I haven't used it yet.
It's so fucking good.
Cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like the idea of like uploading video to the computer and editing there and then bringing it back. I'm just like, no, absolutely not. Like CapCut is so fucking good.
That's awesome.
But it's unlocked like a new creative process that feels natural.
Sick.
Like I'm about doing things that feel natural to me. Like I'll push myself off the ledge and like swim back to shore and be like, okay, like I learned something.
Yep.
But most of the time I would like to keep everything kind of like in the natural flow of my day.
Yes.
Yet like I'm creating content or I'm creating experiences or things that are transformational or enlightening or shed light upon something, but it's not something that I have to run way across the room to do.
No,
it's
seriously.
Like I'm just shining a light on the things that were previously hidden.
Yes, that's awesome.
Or that I was afraid to share in the past. Hey, Bubba.
He wants to chew on your microphone.
Does
for
he?
Sure. Yeah.
Must be a toy. Did you grow up with animals?
Cats. I've never had a dog.
Cat family?
Yeah. Had a couple cats. Had a cat named Raja. Had a cat named Gary. They both Raja was not very long lived. She this is when we lived in LA. She ate my one of my braids off my head, so went away. She went away pretty quickly. But we had Gary, who was a girl cat from when I was 11 till almost when I graduated college, so almost like 11, 12 years. But yeah, I love all animals. I just was never allowed to have a dog.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to Portland, when I was like away from my parents, I was too busy to have a dog. And then so Prince, Anthony's son, has become my son and my first dog.
Yeah, that's nice. I lost my dog almost 2 years ago.
I'm sorry.
I can't even, a year ago, I think. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I really, really like appreciate, like my dog taught me like how to love unconditionally and how to receive love. And there's all these lessons, but it's like, people always ask me like, do you want to get a new one? I'm just like, No, yeah. Absolutely not. Like 8 years, like basically like my whole young adulthood, 24 to like 32. Wow. 8 years with him, mm-hmm. and it's like the most substantial like chunk of my life, like yeah. the glow up.
Yeah.
He like witnessed like me at ground zero to where I'm at now, mm-hmm. and it's just like, oh shit, like he was there for like the most important part of my life, but the responsibility and just like being kind of like tied, like finding like someone to like, if I want to go to Thailand for 2 months, who the fuck's going to watch my fucking 70-pound pit bull?
Like, I know, right?
And it's going to cost this much money. But like now I'm like learning what it's like to fully support myself emotionally. Because mm-hmm. in the past, like,
yes,
I would come home, but he would be like the baseline. Like mm-hmm. he'd be like the couch, essentially, yes. emotionally, where I can just like lay on him mm-hmm. and he can just onboard or take off of my burden, like these emotions that I'm feeling.
Yes.
But now I have to like feel them mm-hmm. through and through completely on my own.
Yes.
And knowing that I have the capacity to support myself emotionally was a lesson that I learned in losing him.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, seriously. It's with this being my first time experiencing having a dog, I like, it's so funny. I'll just sit there and like stare at him and be like, you are just this little life that lives with us and you just love us so much. And obviously we love him too, but it's just, it's different than the cat experience. Everyone mm-hmm. talks about dogs.
They don't care about you.
No, they really, it's just, they live their life.
Transactional.
And I respect that about cats. Like they, where it's like, you can, how close they are to,
here he comes.
Where the cat and the feline throughout evolution, they've always just been like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And the dogs have, through evolution, been like, I care about you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, their domestication is a completely different experience.
He's like giving me neck kisses and shit right now. I get it. How important is fashion in your life?
It's very important. It's like, I love that it's a way that we can storytell. I love it's a way that we can convey emotion. I love how fashion is art. It's so many things to me. Even if, like, it's funny because, like, even if, like, you say, like, oh, I don't care about what I wear or whatever, but, like, there's still a story behind the pieces that you're wearing. Like, mm-hmm. they all come from somewhere, no matter what. And I just love that about clothing and fashion, and mm-hmm. it is an art form.
Yeah, it totally is. If I didn't win best car, I would have won best dressed for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
You won best car when?
In high school.
Oh, amazing. I won party animal.
Did you? Oh, yes, Lord.
I have a plaque.
Everything comes full circle.
Yes.
That's so funny.
I even have a plaque to prove
oh,
it.
Oh, damn. Y'all get lit.
Yeah.
Or got past tense.
Yes.
Yeah, no, fashion has been like really important. I feel like it kind of goes in waves for me. Like summer, I don't give a damn what I'm wearing. It's hot.
Yeah, it's
like
hot.
It's hot. I'm wearing, like, I have like my toes out in the summer. It's like, yeah. You will never catch me like that outside of like, yeah, it has to be like tropical for me to like be wearing things that I don't really mm-hmm. Vibe with as far as like aesthetics are concerned. But before we started, I was just telling you like the new kind of like entering like a new wave of fashion for myself, and like what is that going to look like,
mm-hmm.
like onboarding new pieces. I do enjoy like the relaxed fit, like bigger clothes. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I want to get like size up on pants and stuff totally. Like that. I have a friend, like my friend made these pants.
Oh cool.
And like super sick designer. I'm just like, ooh, I want to go size up on these ones because they're a little bit wider, kind mm-hmm. of like the Japanese like yes. aesthetic. It's kind of like bowed out at the knees and stuff. But yeah, it definitely does tell a story, and it's interesting like people's like relationship to clothing these days. It's like you can tell when it's coming from like a genuine like appreciation and non-judgment, because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I don't care where it came from. It's like, how does it look on me? How does it fit? What is my relationship to the piece? I think these days it's like there's so much like copying, and just like people aren't thinking for themselves when it comes to fashion. And
totally.
It's just like, yo, like you're missing the whole point.
Yeah.
Like you're missing the entire point.
Yeah,
you're just going to stand in line
yeah.
and like get something that everyone else wants at the same time. Like,
no, totally.
Like a couple of days ago, I just ordered a pair of shoes from Saya Collective.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman that he's an independent black owned like designer from the Bay Area.
Cool.
And produces full line, like scale of shoes, clothes, all that kind of stuff, but predominantly shoes. And mm-hmm. like, this was like my first pair of shoes that I bought from him. And it's like, all right, they cost the same as like a Jordan or something. Mm-hmm. It's like $200+ yeah. or whatever, but it's like, it's from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not from a fucking design department that's been studying and they designed it like 2 years ago for yeah. this specific point in time and yeah. they don't know if it's going to work. It's totally. Like,
and they've kind of been like copying and pasting and yeah, tweaking over 100%. The years just to make more money.
But the yeah. idea to like, to purchase something from somebody who has complete creative autonomy mm-hmm. and creates great products. And I don't know, there's just something that there's so much more richness in that story. And now being like, oh, okay, I'm going to be the only one in the city with this shoe.
Yes.
Like, talk exciting. About exclusivity. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nobody else is going to have that. And yeah. I think creating a relationship like to the garments or to the things that we purchase and that we decide to share, it's like, I think investing more in that connection and in that story is yes. important.
And those pieces are going to last a long time for you too. The like, we just get in this, a lot of people get in this like wave of like with fast fashion, and a lot more is fast fashion than we think. A lot of people think like, oh, Shein and Fashion Nova are fast fashion. No, like Nike's fast fashion.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
for
they
sure.
make it really quickly and mm-hmm. really cheaply, and you buy it for a marked up price. Mm-hmm. Like I think that we need to, and obviously no shade, because like if you don't have access or the money to buy other stuff, like I want to make sure that we know that like we can't like shame everyone for participating in fast fashion. Mm-hmm. It's what they have access to. Get your kids some Nikes if that's what yeah, they want, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
that's okay. But it's more so that the people that have a lot of money that continuously participate in fast fashion when they can afford the slow fashion. I mm-hmm. think that is really important.
Oh, Bubba. Thanks for revisiting us. We were missing you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like I always make fun of like people that live in Northwest and stuff. I'm like, if you got the money, it's like y'all just do it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, You got the wrong like clothes. You got like
yeah.
like you need somebody to help design your living room for you. Like if you have it, do it right.
No, totally. Yes. No, it's I see it all the time working at Nordstrom. I help these types of people all the time when I'm happy to, but it's just like, you have the money to do it. Let's
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
You know,
fucking
like
do
I
it
wish
right.
I had what you had, you know, because I would be having a seamstress that I absolutely love make me one of everything, and that's all I would be wearing
yeah.
if I had the access
yeah.
to that.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's just, I don't know, just creating lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
like styling our lives to like our liking is, that's the funnest creative process. It's like designing like what we put into our bodies, like how we express ourselves, mm-hmm. like the connections that we cultivate, like how we represent ourselves. It's like, it's just an ongoing process, and giving ourselves space to do nothing is a part of it as well.
Yes.
And consciously doing that. I don't know. I'm kind of just like in this like accepting and loving everything part of it. Cause it's like, it's all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're getting to know each other like over a podcast. Like this is literally our longest conversation that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Like otherwise, like outside of this, it's been listening to a song and vibing and be like, 200 for lunch, 200 for lunch. And that's it. And then it's just like, oh, hey, what's going on? Yeah. Yeah. like, oh, I like your shirt. Like, mm-hmm. like stuff like that. But things just don't have to be so fucking serious. Like my life has to fold out this way. It's like, how about like you live it and see mm-hmm. like where it's telling you to go.
Yes.
Instead of like having this ego driven idea of like what it needs to be at the end goal. And just like, but it's like, right on your front porch, there's like a direction that's like pointing like go left and around the corner or mm-hmm. whatever, but you're ignoring that
because you're so obsessed
yeah,
with well, supposedly
yeah
supposed to
it's
happen.
Like oh, I gotta go right. I'm just like no, but like the more fun path is mm-hmm. is that way. I have
yes.
a saying that I'd like made up while ironically playing beer pong. I wasn't mm-hmm. drinking beer, but it was with a friend, and she had like never like really played beer pong and stuff.
Oh, well, and you got to show them.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. Yeah, yeah. But it was like, I told her the whole time, I was like, whoever has the most fun wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so I, like, she mentioned it to me because she showed up to the breathwork thing and like reminded me that I said that to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, yeah, hell yeah. It's like, whoever has the most fun wins.
Yes. Like, I love that.
Every single point, whoever's mm-hmm. smiling, whoever's having a good time and enjoying like the company and just being present and being fun and loose and, mm-hmm. and whatnot, or whoever's learning, like whoever's having the most fun wins and having less control over everything and just like allowing ourselves to blossom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that. And organically, not forcing it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Everything organic. Yeah. I'm just like, hey, you want to do this? Yeah. All right, cool. Like,
yeah, let's roll.
See you over at the spot. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking dog come in here and mm-hmm. interrupt. I don't care. Like, we're fucking here. We're doing the damn thing. Word. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
I feel like we've covered so much.
Yeah, if there's anything else, like, this is your stage.
I think we'll just bring it back to Free YSL. Free Donna, Free Young Thug. Happy birthday, Young Thug. Can't stress that enough. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like now I'm drawing a blank even though I'm such a talker.
Dope.
But thank you for having me. Yeah. This was great. This was a good conversation.
Yeah, most definitely. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
On Instagram, Paige Ray, and it's PageRay, or on TikTok, it's Paige and Prince if you want to get some dog and like outfit of the day action. We are over there as well.
Puppy content.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Paige. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presents.